From JMI Wealth Friday morning, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning,
Mike.
I mean,
you've got to love it, don't you? I mean, it's, as far as FTAs go, it looks pretty impressive.
Yeah, look, we today's big decision day, isn't it? Looking forward to that nice, clear, concise, easily understood announcement at 10 o'clock. And by 10:30, the way out will be clear. In the meantime, though, if you want something to do between now and then, you can bask in the afterglow of the signing a free trade agreement with the UK. Now, we have talked about this before. It was supposed to be finalised a little earlier this year. But now we have an agreement in principle. And at the headline level, New Zealand will remove tariffs on all UK exports as soon as the FTA comes into force. And the reciprocity is almost there. The UK will remove tariffs on almost everything coming into the UK from New Zealand. So beef and sheep farmers will have to wait 15 years for complete tariff-free trade. And I know that sounds like an awful long time, but the tariff-free quota does increase over that time period. And this would appear to be quite a good win for the red meat sector. Butter and cheese, free access after 5 years, but the quota is the tariff-free quota increasing over those 5 years from day one. Wine, honey, onions and hoki all get free access. Good for the wine exporters. Previously, there was a $50 per 100 litre tariff. That's gone. There were a range of tariffs, percentage tariffs on those other products, things like 16% on honey. Mussels and apples, they go to free access after 5 years. Look, Mike, I would point, while the tariff gains don't seem that large, I mean, $37.8 million was the number quoted yesterday in the context of billions of dollars worth of exports. It doesn't seem like a lot. But the opportunity here is to actually deliver real volume exports of those key commodity classes. And that does look very promising. So there's potential to boost GDP by upwards of 970 million. You know, I like to round things up, so I'll call that a billion. And that's assuming the goods exported to the UK lift by 40%. But I actually think this looks like a pretty good deal. Yep. And well done.
Can't find any critics at the moment. Evergrande, where are they at?
So, yeah, that's the positive. Now we go to the watching brief on the Evergrande saga. So Evergrande, the embattled Chinese giant, started as a property company. That's still the main sphere of activity. Look, Mike, the thing is, to a degree, this issue has come off the front pages of the business sections, but it certainly hasn't gone away. And I think the perception has moved from a sort of catastrophic failure to what I've been sort of talking about as hopefully a managed decomposition of the Evergrande balance sheet. Now, Evergrande shares are back trading. They fell 12.5% yesterday. That's China Evergrande Group. That's the parent company of the empire. Look, they're trying to restructure the balance sheet, sell assets. They were looking to offload just over 50% of Evergrande Property Services. They thought they had a deal. Those plans have now been abandoned, so that's a blow to the restructure plans. But one of the key developments here, Mike, has been that we now have Chinese government officials trying to ease concerns that the Evergrande's problems won't spiral out of control. Now, there's no expectations of a bailout, but at least we know now that the administration is taking a lot of notice. And even as senior as Vice Premier Liu He, so very senior official, said that the risks are controllable. They've got some other assets that stake in a Chinese lender. They're trying to flog that for $1.5 billion. The thing is, Mike, this problem of contagion, other property developers are now being hit with credit rating downgrades. There's been some smaller property companies that haven't met their obligations. Monday looms as a milestone, which is why we're talking about it today. Evergrande hasn't paid a bond coupon on a March 22 bond. That's overdue. It needs to make that payment on Monday. Why do we care? Property is a massive part of the Chinese economy. Property sales are falling. This affects Chinese growth. It affects sentiment. And a wee reminder, this is our largest trading partner.
Correct. Speaking of houses, mortgages, you said it.
They were going to go up. Mortgage rates are going up. So it lifted the ANZ lifted their fixed rate mortgages yesterday, 0.45%. They've now got no mortgage rates under 3%. 4 and 5 years now over 5%. Westpac went there as well. I just want to make a note on a to end on a positive note. Hopefully, for savers out there, we'll see term deposit rates going up as well. Hopefully.
And there are more savers than borrowers last time I looked. What are the numbers?
Exactly. Dow Jones, 35,489, down 120. IBM getting hit a little bit overnight, so that's down 0.34%. But the S&P 500 barely moved, 4,535, down 1 point. And the NASDAQ, 15,172, it's up 50. The FTSE 100, down 33, 7190. The Nikkei, 28,708, down 1.87% yesterday, so it got hit a bit. Shanghai Composite up 8, 3.5 now 4, ASX 200 gained 2, 7.415, the NZX 50, 13,125 up 12. Kiwi dollar has come off overnight, Mike, 0.7151 US, 0.9568 Aussie, 0.6147 Euro, 0.5182 pounds, 81.29 yen. Gold, $1,779, and Brent crude, $84.12.
Have a magnificent long weekend. Andrew Kelleher, jmowealth.co.nz.